Thanks for tuning in to the 21st. I'm Nyla Boodoo. The Jewish holiday of Purim begins this year at sunset, begins at sunset on Saturday this year. Usually it involves a lot of celebration, and Sinai Temple in Champaign this weekend is putting on a Purim play that's a modern mashup of the musical Grease and the story of Esther. We're joined in studio now by Rabbi Alan Cook with Sinai Temple. Rabbi Alan, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for being with me.
Thanks. So great to be back.
So I suppose you can't explain the holiday of Purim without telling us the story of Esther, right? Can you remind us the story?
Sure. So Esther is a biblical story. Actually takes place fairly late in the overall Hebrew Bible and what Christians would refer to as the Old Testament. But seems to take place, if it is an actual historical book, and there's some debate over that, during the time when the Jews were exiled in Persia, which is modern-day Iran and Iraq. And there's a king, Ahasuerus. There's some thought that perhaps he is actually a Persian king known as Artaxerxes, but may or may not be. And he has a poor relationship with his first queen named Vashti, has to have her leave the palace. And in feeling lonely and feeling like he needs to be
story. This is great.
Sure. He needs to be a king with at least one queen, if not several. He holds a sort of contest and looks at all the eligible maidens in the land of Persia, and ends up selecting, sort of unbeknownst to him, a Jewish young woman. He doesn't know that she's Jewish initially, but he selects a Jewish young woman named Esther, and she's an orphan herself. She's being brought up by her cousin Mordecai, and she goes into the palace, and soon after that, Ahasuerus, the king, promotes an advisor who is known as Haman, or in Hebrew, Haman, and he is said to be descended from a group known as the Amalekites, who are a longstanding enemy of the Israelites throughout the Bible. They are the first group to attack the Israelites back in the book of Exodus when they come out of Egypt. And they are wandering in the wilderness, the Amalekites attack. And from that moment onward, the Israelites are told to be cautious of the Amalekites. And here comes this guy, Haman, and he is incensed that Esther's cousin Mordecai will not bow down to him and show him the respect that he believes that he is due as an advisor to the king. And so he approaches the king, and he says pretty ominously, there's a group in the kingdom, and their laws are not your laws, and they don't follow the king's laws. And so the king really has no purpose to tolerate a group such as that, and so will you give me permission to destroy them? And the king grants that permission, and after a while, Esther becomes aware of this and has to intervene, and stands up for herself and for her people and says, just because I'm in the palace doesn't mean that I am immune from this. And king, I got to let you know what's going on. And the king is unable to rescind the order, but allows the Jews to defend themselves, and they're able to overcome Haman's decree. And it becomes what could have been a very mournful day becomes a celebration, because they are able the Israelites in the kingdom are able to overcome this evil decree, and it becomes a day of great celebration. And so nowadays we celebrate by retelling that story, usually in a fun and creative way, and by sending gifts to others and by making contributions to the poor. Those are among the commandments that are given for Jews who are celebrating Purim. And there's been some controversy in the Jewish community throughout the generations as to what kind of emphasis should be placed on this holiday, because this is a story that is told in the Bible without any mention of God or God's intervention in events. This is all kind of a human drama, and as you've heard, kind of a soap opera-y kind of drama.
Yeah.
And so is it appropriate to give this the context of a religious holiday? Because the events that it celebrates take place after the Torah, after the first five books of Scripture, which have the greatest importance for Jews, it has become sort of a minor holiday. So you'll still find it celebrated in most Jewish communities around the world, but it does not take on the same importance as the Sabbath or as Passover or some of these other holidays that are referred to in Scripture.
And so it's kind of, I mean, it's sort of, and you mentioned this and you alluded to this a little bit with the play that you're doing. A lot of it is sort of about a fun celebration, dressing up in costume, those sorts of things.
Certainly. And there is a tradition that says that you're supposed to get so wild that you eventually lose the ability to discern, whether through natural causes or through artificial causes, such as imbibing a little bit too much. But you lose the ability to discern between the hero of the story, Mordecai, and the villain of the story, Haman.
That's interesting.
Yes.
So when I wonder, how does this, what I wonder what this meant to you when it was growing up. As a kid, what was Purim like for you?
I mean, Purim kind of, you know, colloquially has come to be known as a Jewish Halloween. There are some that because of Halloween's origins, you know, and potential connections to paganism and so forth, there are some who were not comfortable with the celebration of Halloween. And so Purim became an opportunity to dress up in silly costumes and so forth. In my family, we actually did both. But this was another opportunity to pretend to be something that you're not and to put on those sorts of airs, I think, is always fun for children. There are traditional filled cookies for the holiday known as Humantashen, derived from the tradition that Haman had a three-cornered hat. And so you put filling into the center and you make a triangle-shaped cookie. And so, you know, what kid doesn't like a holiday that's associated
with that has cookies.
With sweets, yes.
And so how did you all decide to do a modern mashup of Greece and Esther in the story? What's that going to look like?
So I think it's going to look like a lot of fun, actually. We've had this tradition at Sinai for a number of years, and it's a tradition that I've carried with me through the other congregations that I've served elsewhere in the country. It's traditional to tell the story of Purim in what's known as a spiel, coming from the German for play, and to do it in kind of a humorous way. And my tactic has always been to try to take popular music or a Broadway musical or a movie or something and mash it up with the story. And since, to my daughter's dismay, I couldn't get Moana to work for me, or Zootopia or any of her favorite films from this year, I went back into the old catalog and went with Grease. And so we'll be telling the story in kind of a funny way. We're blessed to have some very talented actors in our congregation. Some local people may know Jackie Lowenstein and her daughter Emma, who have been in some local productions, and Jackie is a local theater producer, and a young woman named Kayla Israel has also been in some of those productions. And so they're going to be joining us and putting up with my singing.
You're going to be singing, too.
I'm going to be doing a little bit of the background singing and not taking on a key role. But for instance, I made reference in telling the story to the Queen Vashti, who gets kicked out of the palace. So you may be familiar with the Grease song Beauty School Dropout. We've changed that to King A, short for Ahasuerus. King A kicked me out. And you know, so we change some of the lyrics like that. And previously we've done We've done Frozen. We did The Muppets one year. And so we always look for a fun and creative way to be able to get dressed up and have some musical fun and really go all out in celebrating the holiday.
So it sounds like a really fun holiday. I wonder if this year, is there anything else you are sort of bringing to this story as you're thinking about this story?
And I think that as fun a holiday as it is, we have to remember its resonance and relevance, particularly in this day and age. I cited when I was telling you the story, the kind of ominous statement that Haman makes about not tolerating those who might be different from you. And I think in this day and age in particular, we need to take Purim's message of tolerance and really shout it from the rooftops and really embrace it. Because only by understanding each other, as I've said to you, it turns out in some of our previous conversations when you've been nice enough to welcome me with my interfaith colleagues, I think that the answer to finding peace and harmony in our nation, particularly at these tumultuous moments, is finding a way to reject the sense that says that one who is other than you is to be feared, and rather to embrace the opportunity to get to know people who may differ from you in the way that they worship or in their gender identity or in the socioeconomic background that they have or what have you, and to say we are all Americans, we are all creatures of God, and we are all deserving of love and respect. And to me, that's one of the underlying messages of Purim, even with all the other fun stuff that
we've got. With all the other fun stuff. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks for sharing the story and the idea and what's going to happen with your production. Is that on Saturday evening?
That's on Saturday evening.
Okay.
And then on Sunday, we actually also celebrate with a carnival and carnival games for the students in our congregation and for the community. And so that's a fun
opportunity. For anyone who's interested in coming, they're welcome to do
sure.
that. Okay. So that's at Sinai Temple in Champaign. Thanks to Rabbi Alan Cook. Rabbi, thanks for being here with me again.
Thanks so much for having me again.